I can't accept not trying. Michael Jordan. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. I'm Jeremiah Sullivan. I'm your host. And this podcast is for, well, let me just ask you some questions. Are you an individual trying to improve your leadership or personal performance as a man, woman, husband, wife, friend, leader, athlete? Are you trying to absolutely dominate and destroy every single goal in your way and not waste time? Are you trying to become so influential that your team goes running through a wall for you? Or maybe you're just working on upward progression inside of your profession and you're looking to be the best. Well, if you said yes to any of those, then this podcast is for you. Like I mentioned, my name is Jeremiah Sullivan. I'm the host. And this podcast, if you're new, is designed to teach you how to dominate in your field. The lessons I'm going to teach come from some very special mentors that I've had in my life and my experience as a Ranger officer in special operations, my experience as an infantry company commander, and my lessons in entrepreneurship. And I'm going to teach you stuff that's really, really unique that's going to help you with your individual leadership and help you with your individual performance. And all that I ask is that if you find value in today's episode, if you laugh, if you learn, if you simply walk away inspired, that you share it with a friend. We don't run ads, and so we ask that you help us out to grow this podcast organically by sharing it with a friend. But today's topic is going to be a very special episode. It's going to be incredible because we're going to talk about really how to get into action mode and or reach a new level of action. Okay, and actually the topic goes deeper than that. The topic gets into something that I'm very, very interested in. I study quite a bit, and that's regret. I'll get into the details here in a little bit, but regret is a big driver for me as an individual. And maybe you as a listener, maybe you're living with some regret right now. Or maybe you've lived in regret previously and you want to avoid it in the future. And so we're going to break down how regret can be a driver for you and push you to a new level of performance. But before I get into today's topic, I want to welcome my trusted sidekick and the master podcaster, Justin Phillips. What's up, man?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Jeremiah, I'm very upset because the other day I was watching Joe Rogan, as I do with all my free time, and he just moved into that new studio, by the way. That's my podcasting news for the episode, but he was interviewing a guy that I guess had a podcast like well before anybody else did, and he referred to himself as the Podfather. So I was sad that I can't really be the Podfather anymore because I guess I'm just copying whatever that guy's name was. And I really liked that one.
I think we should sue Joe Rogan for all of his Spotify money.
Yeah. Yeah. Find out exactly how much it is.
Yeah. I saw a funny video, like somebody was making. What did I see? He posted it yesterday. He was basically basically like an internet battle between the people that said that he sold out and somebody else saying that he didn't. And it was just like him dancing and celebrating with all his like essentially like fuck you money from contracting with Spotify. Right. I thought it was a pretty good like internet rebuttal to all the haters that were out there saying he sold out. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that, but like I know what's going on with it. That's like the one area I do pay attention to on the internet. Apparently, I just still don't see the video memes about it, but
yeah, he posted it yesterday.
Do you think that he sold out?
Who gives a shit? No, I mean
people
I say
on
that
Twitter, that's who gives a shit.
I mean, like, no, he didn't sell out. He made money doing something that he loves, and he's going to help more people, and it's going to reach more ears. Is that selling out? No, it's just, that's like, I hate that shit because people get like, it's just haters. It's just haters jumping in, and it's a bunch of people not doing shit, sitting behind their computers. They haven't accomplished anything, telling Joe Rogan, who has done a phenomenal job, and, you know, just hating on him from a distance. So, no, I don't think he's sold out.
What do you think about just like the term in general of selling out? Like, do you think that there are people out there that do it? Not Joe Rogan particularly, because I wouldn't call what he's done a sellout either, because he's been doing it so goddamn long. And
I guess that kind of depends on what you mean by selling out. Like when I hear sell out, I hear, you know, compromising your integrity for a reward, a compromising something you stand for. You know, so if I am maybe this podcast, maybe somebody comes in and we don't do sponsored ads, and somebody offers me millions and millions of dollars for to sponsor, I don't know, Monster energy drinks. Okay, I don't drink Monster. I have in the past once or twice, but I'm not a big believer.
Right.
I'm not a big Monster guy, and so it would be selling out if I took that contract and I started promoting Monster on here all the time, like I've been drinking Monster my whole life, you know?
Gotcha. Now, what if Bang Energy came and did the same thing? Because you do drink that.
And so now we're kind of in a gray area because we've committed to not doing sponsored ads. And so does it go again? It is something I consume, but would I? No, I wouldn't. They could offer me, you know, $10 million and I would say no.
Okay. Well, they could offer me $10 million and I would say yes. So so there's that. But
as somebody that's listening right now is like, he's full of shit.
But
I'm really not. I'm really not. I would turn it down in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could say. Okay. So we'll transition into today's topic for a little bit. Let's get caught up. See how things are going on your end. I know you're back into school. And,
today
is... Well, we'll get into it in here in a second. But yeah, just tell me how things are going on your side right now.
I'm just busy. That's how things are going. Things aren't going good or bad per se. They're fucking moving along, man. You know, and like I still say every time someone asks me how I'm doing, my new thing is stealing Dave Ramsey's response and saying better than I deserve, you know, because I just kind of wake up every morning and I think to myself, I'm like, you know, look at what I got and look at what I don't. And what adjustments can we make?
Well, and school has been really busy for you too, right?
Yeah. Kicking my ass like it does with most people that actually try.
Why are you taking so many units right now? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Because I took a semester off, so now I need to make up for it.
So tell me about how many units are you taking again?
I'm taking 21 credits this semester.
And what caused this to happen?
I was not in school last fall, and my school likes to have a bunch of classes I need to take that are only available in the fall. So I had to take like two semesters worth of credits in one semester.
And what happens if you don't take those now? You gotta basically, your graduation gets extended by another year.
Yeah. I'd have to basically go another fall semester that I don't need to otherwise. So, or I'd have to, I don't know, I'd have to come up with some sort of like take graduate level classes that are like substitutes for the ones that I missed and all this jazz. So I just emailed the dean of my school and was like, can I just take more than 18 credits? Like, you're not supposed to be allowed to do that. But he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay.
Well, it sounds like you would end up just regretting not taking them. Is what it would
be. That's an interesting conversation to be had. Actually, yeah. Because I also, you know, I took a year off of college my freshman year. I dropped out a month into college and I took the rest of the year off. And something I always told myself at that point was that by this point of time that we're in now, I'd be kicking myself in the ass thinking like, man, I should have just graduated. You know, I should have been class of 2020 with college. And but now that we're here, it still kind of feels like it flew by. I actually don't regret it as much as I thought I would, that I took the extra year off. And I also think I ended up on a much better path just a year later. So it's a balancing act, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see you chip along and excited to see you finish out the year and stuff and survive the number of, you know, hours and the credits that you're taking. So I guess winter won't be like that then, and spring won't be quite as many.
No, that is kind of the trade-off, is that spring it'll probably be like the fewest number that I can take and still be a full-time student, just because it came down to a matter of when the classes are offered. I'm not trying to catch up in the sense that I fell behind numbers-wise, because I've always taken the higher end, you know, and 99% of colleges, the rule is 12 to 18 credits is a full-time student, so a lot of people just take 15 all the way through, right smack dab in the middle, and that works out. I've always done 18. So I was like caught up. I'm just still behind because of timing issues.
Okay. Well, that's a good update on your side. On my side, let me see. So, I mean, really it's been the same game every day, man. You know, I'm just focused on consistency right now and chipping away at all my stuff, whether it's mixed martial arts, whether it's business, whether it's family stuff. You know, today is really introspective day for me specifically, and I'm sure it is for a lot of Americans, because the day that we're recording this is September 11th. So everybody right now is remembering the attack that was taken on the World Trade Center in 2001, and everybody's remembering the lives lost there. And so this morning for me, I woke up this morning and I was thinking, you know, maybe I wouldn't do a podcast on 9/11 specifically, because when it comes out, it'll be a couple of days afterwards. Yeah. It'll be about 4 or 5 days afterwards. But I couldn't shake it. I couldn't stop thinking about, and it was just, I wasn't because I was looking at the news or looking at my cell phone. I just literally couldn't stop thinking about 9/11. And I was thinking about where I was at when it happened. And I was thinking about my journey since then. Since I have a military background, it's kind of interesting for somebody to look at my life with 9/11, because I came into the service after it happened.
Right.
But not immediately after, like 2005 is when I came in. And, you know, we're talking about 2001 is when the World Trade Centers were hit. So I spent some time this morning walking and just thinking about the journey. And I was dissecting this last week specifically for me, and the last, you know, 19 years too. So it was kind of this thing where I was looking short term and long term. And, you know, to be honest, this last week, I've been pretty moody, man. I've been trying to control my temper. I've been trying to control some frustrations, and I've been a little more agitated than normal, been in what I call mm-hmm. kill mode. For people that follow me on Instagram, I share that kill mode is essentially a playful way for me to identify the fact that I'm being a little bit moody so I can address it.
Yeah.
But I came to the realization this morning while I was reflecting on 9/11, I was reflecting on this last week, the last couple of weeks and everything. And I realized that the reason I've been moody and kind of agitated is that because I don't want to close out this year in regret. Okay. And I know that the end of the year is coming. The end of 2020 is coming. And I have been working my ass off, just like a lot of us and a lot of people listening have been, just like you have. And I'm no exception. But I'm just kind of sharing my personal journey right now. So the realization that I've been working super, super hard, but that the year is coming to an end makes me start to get more aggressive with the things that I want to accomplish. I start seeing the end in sight. It's kind of like the last quarter mile on a 2 mile race or any race.
Yeah.
You see the end and you just start digging in, right? Well, it's the same thing for me, especially when I start seeing other people look at and plan for next year, right? So, like I said, I was doing my morning cardio this morning, and I was thinking about the short term. I was thinking about the long term, and I was kind of assessing my attitude across the last week specifically. And I reflected that, you know, that it's been 254 days since the beginning of the year. Okay. So there's been 254 days this year. And out of the last 254 days, I've taken one day off from working out. I've taken 0 days off from business and life growth. Meaning that I've done something to move myself forward in both those areas. And I've taken 0 days off from supporting clients and family, literally lending a helping hand every single day. And I'm starting to get aggressive and agitated because I see the end of the year coming. And I know that when I lay down at the end of the year, I want to know that I've given everything and I held nothing back. And even though that I've successfully executed every single day this year, just about, except for that one day that I didn't work out. And that was an intentional day of rest, but I can still remember it. I went out and I asked my wife this morning, I said, "Hey, did I take a day off this year?" And she's like, "You know, I remember us having this conversation a little bit earlier in the year because you hadn't taken a day off in the whole year prior to the moment that we had the discussion."
Yeah.
Now some of my workouts have been lighter. Okay. They haven't been all like this madman workouts, but what I'm saying here, okay, it gets my point. I'm aggressive right now because I have high expectations for the end of the year. And I know that we're going to close in, and the last December 31st is going to hit. And I want to lay down knowing I gave it my all, but there's still this feeling that I didn't quite do every single thing I should have, that maybe I should have done a little bit better, than I kind of held back. And so I'm kind of like starting to see that in some areas, or excuse me, I'm starting to see that now as we're closing in through the rest of the year. I'm starting to feel a little bit of regret. Like, oh man, I should have done a little bit different on this Sunday, or I should have done things differently on this Saturday. And so that's kind of the backstory that got me to today's topic. Okay, I want to talk about 9/11. I want to talk about regret. And really what I want the listener to walk away from this episode is I don't want you to walk away from this year regretting that you could have done things differently. I want you to lay down on December 31st and feel at peace, okay? Because that's what my focus is, and I think that'll help out the listener, and it'll help out everyone that's listening. So that's kind of what got us here. What are your any thoughts on that as we kind of transition?
Not really. You took too many turns on that I kept losing track of all my thoughts. But we all want to minimize regret. You know, it's a type of thing. And there's that running issue of aren't you always going to have those thoughts? Aren't you always going to have some form of regret or another? Aren't you always going to think like, look, hindsight is 20/20. Type of thing, and you're going to look back here to say, I could have done this differently, or I could have gone harder at this, even if you're, you know, on your level. Like, not a lot of people are operating on your level, Jeremiah. You know what I mean? A lot of people can't say that they've taken one day off from working out this entire year, or that they've taken 0 days off from literally anything this entire year. But even you're still looking back and probably asking yourself, you know, could I have tried harder on this day? Could I have done something differently on this day? So on and so forth.
I don't think that, so for somebody that's listening, it's important that you start dialing in right now. Okay. And when I say dial in, I mean, start taking notes and start capturing some stuff that we're going to talk about, because regret is a powerful driver. Okay. It causes massive, massive action when you learn to avoid it, or when you're confronted with it. And I think, to Justin's questions, man, I think that no matter what you do in life, you're going to have a little bit of residual regret that you could have done things a little bit different, a little bit better. But I think the most important thing to focus on from a performance standpoint is that you want to minimize it as much as possible. And a lot of people, when they look at, when they deal with regret, they confront it when it's too late. They don't confront it in advance, you know, and a lot of times what ends up the reason why I'm so focused on regret right now is because regret can cause you to go into massive, massive action mode, right? Like the fear of not accomplishing something can put you into massive action mode, or not being able to, it's just a big driver. Like we all hear about pain and pleasure being drivers towards action, but more importantly, regret is a huge driver. It's a catalyst for everything. And knowing that, you know, I think a lot of people fail to try and predict what they're going to regret. And how many times have you talked to somebody that has regretted the last X amount of years, or maybe parts of their life? Tell me a little bit about that. I know you were talking about it earlier.
Yeah. Was I talking about it earlier?
Well, you mentioned some of the calls you've been
doing. Just, I mean, yeah, dude, inside of Conquer Academy, frankly, too, you know, we're working with people all the time, trying to help teach them how to win, how to perform at their best, et cetera. And a lot of the people that we get a hold of that reach out to us through Instagram, email, call, whatever it is, you know, that reach out to us. There is a common thread between all of them that they're starting to take action. You know, that's a question I like to ask people. Why are you asking me this? Why did you decide to click on my profile, click on Jeremiah's profile, whatever the case is? Like, why are you doing this now? And oftentimes it's I've been trying to take care of myself up until this point. I've been the person that doesn't usually ask for help. Now I'm at a place where I realize myself has not been working. You know, I'm not a good mentor for myself. That's something I've heard from people before. So there is definitely an element of regret already in there by the time they get in touch with anybody. Basically, you know, when people, you could tie the same thing to people that have therapists now, which is becoming more and more popular, I feel like, and so on and so forth, or that have coaches of any variety, really, are usually coming because they recognize that there's a problem, and you're going to get into anticipating that problem in the first place, essentially, and when the right time is to sign up. But it's something that everybody has on some sort of level.
Yeah. So you're starting to notice that the people that are coming in and applying for Conquer Academy, that the ones that are starting to take action, one of the big drivers for them is the fact that they don't want to regret the next chapter of their life.
Yeah.
Is that that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Either that, it's either they already regret, you know, the regret's already there and that's what's causing them to take action in the first place, or they don't want that regret to just kind of blow out of control. It's usually kind of on that tipping point of regret, I feel like, where they're like, okay, like I've put on weight. That's a classic example, kind of, you know, and I wish I was back to what I was like in high school or something like that. So they're starting to feel it. And I think a good amount of them do recognize that they have the wrong trajectory and they're trying to figure it out before their regret is really, really, really bad. And that's just the people that we're talking to, too, the people that are taking action. What I'm actually more afraid of is the people that don't, or the people that, for some reason, which I could not figure this out for you, but it's just kind of common in society now, just find this like humor in regret almost, and just intentionally make bad decisions, and they joke about it, and they flag it off like a college student that goes out and parties all the time. You know, it's like before they even go out and give themselves a problem with alcohol, they're being like, oh, I'm going to regret this in the morning, LOL, like throwing up peace signs on Instagram. And I don't know why people make such a joke about it. I'm not that much of a fanatic to try to stop them, because it's their life and they can do that, you know, however they want to do. But it's like people have almost taken the pressure off by just bringing humor into it instead of actually taking the other route and not doing it.
Yeah, dude, and what a great point you just made. And actually, I saw you, I think you posted on Twitter about that.
Yeah, I did actually very recently, which had nothing to do with this, but I was just thinking about that too. I tweeted recently, or you talked about the one where I said, I have respect for people that have a road to recovery, but I have more respect for people that never lost their path in the first place, essentially, is paraphrasing what I said. Yeah, that's a big thing to me, man.
Well, let me bring this all together and let's continue to move along, and we'll take some examples and from what you're experiencing in your life, some examples from my life, and we'll hammer home why regret avoidance is such a powerful driver. And the first thing, you know, while you're taking notes, the first thing that you want to write down is this key point right here. I'm going to talk to you about regret specifically and how it can cause action. So here's the hidden truth. More than pain and pleasure being the source for action, the catalyst to action is the avoidance of regret. Okay. We've all heard that pain and pleasure are drivers, but like I mentioned before, is that regret is really the thing that causes the most amount of action. And at least I found that with me personally. And if you think about, Justin, if we take your situation, for example, in school, we kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but it was a significant driver for you. You know, you were looking at, hey, I don't want to graduate too late. Mm-hmm. And that drove you into registering for more classes, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. So, we can kind of come to the agreement that, yeah, regret does drive action. And what I want the listener to do right now is kind of just, and Justin, you can, I'll do this exercise with you, but as the listener is paying attention, they should ask themselves this question too. You know, just look back at the last 5 years or even just year. Okay. If you want to just kind of focus on the last year. And what was a time in the last 365 days that you took massive action for some reason? Okay. And when I say massive action, it means you did something that you said at the end of it, I can't believe I did that. Or like, I'm really surprised that I did that. Like, where did that come from? Do you have something like that?
Well, if I extend to that 5-year window that you initially gave me, or 2-year window, the first thing that pops into my mind is my podcast, right? My first podcast, I should mention, you know, especially after finishing off that 365th day, I was like, holy shit, you know, and why did I do that? And then there are other examples too of the things I've done in Conquer Academy and impulsively flying to Colorado. And there's like these little things that kind of do that too, because it's, and I'm trying to think that is mostly pulled out of me to some extent, because I have thought to myself in the past, and we talked about this on decision making a little bit, but it's asking myself, like, which of these options are you really going to regret? You know, not doing it or doing it. Make things simple, not weigh all the options and give yourself all this stuff to confuse yourself with. So like my podcast, for example, I had to just get real about the fact that what am I going to regret more, like not doing it or doing it? Why would I regret doing it? Am I going to regret people being able to hear my voice? Am I really that insecure about my voice? Like I started to ask myself questions like that. I was like, no, you know, and I was like, maybe it takes off, maybe it doesn't. But at the end of the day, can I say I did it? Yes, I can, you know, personally. So it's that type of thing.
And let's pull the thread on that a little bit. And yeah. So guys, with the let's point that I'm hammering, the point that I'm hammering home right now is that I want the listener to realize that regret is a catalyst for action.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're pulling out your success code. We're pulling out the winning code in you. Okay. And that's why you're listening right now. And you're paying attention. You're taking notes is because you're trying to figure out what's going to cause you to take the what's going to cause you to take action next. And so Justin, for you, so let's talk about the podcast.
Yes.
So when you were kind of weighing whether or not you should do it, tell me a little bit about the regret aspect of making that decision. What were you worried about on all sides?
I mean, oh gosh, it's fun to think back to that kind of point. It was this big matter of me trying to find something to do. Basically, you know, I started going down the rabbit hole of self-development and entrepreneurship and that type of stuff. And I was spending most of my time in my dorm room at college being like, how am I going to make money? And, but then I got into podcasting and you're hearing all this, learn new skills, so on and so forth. So I kind of just picked something. There was an element of it that was just like reaching the box and see what you get. And, but I did really enjoy it. I was listening to podcasts in the first place. That was a big part of where my interest fell in that. And like I said, it came down to that notion of I can do it or I can not do it. You know, where's not doing it going to get me?
Okay, yeah. There it is right there. So it was the idea that you, if you didn't do it, you were going to regret not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That was what it was. Like, if I look back on this moment, even if I don't get the outcome I want, I'm going to regret not taking action. Yeah. That was enough to cause you to start doing it, right?
Well, I'll tie it back to the quote that you used to open up this episode, right? Yeah. And that was Michael Jordan's, I can't accept not trying. You know, that's what I've kind of learned throughout the process of this is that if you take inaction on something, if you don't do it, you know what the outcome is going to be. Nothing.
Right.
That's going to be the outcome. And when people come to taking action on something, it's like they don't like the uncertainty of it because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. It could also be nothing in a lot of cases, yeah. Or it could grow into something really big. Maybe there's a risk to it. Maybe you could get screwed because of it, but you're better off going and getting out of that guaranteed nothingness.
Yeah, absolutely. And the listener right now, you know, they're probably sitting there thinking about some things that they've avoided, like some action that they took and some regret they avoided before in order to take action, right? They're thinking through that right now. But what you want to do as an individual as you're going through this is you want to ask yourself, what did it cause you to start doing afterwards? After you started avoiding the regret, what did you start doing afterwards? Okay. For me, I'll share some personal examples about how digging into avoiding regret and analyzing it and being introspective about it in my own life has caused me to course correct and some decisions that it's caused me to make. Okay. And this will be help the listener out. So, one of the times that stands out the most is when I was in Iraq. Okay. I was in this city in downtown Bakuba. And what had happened was that enemy forces had retaken the city of Bakuba and the 82nd Airborne was going through and clearing the city to remove them and regain control. Well, my unit was tasked with coming in and putting up a patrol base behind the 82nd Airborne so they had a place to consolidate and reorganize as they continued to clear. And at the time, I'm an engineer. I'm not in the infantry. Okay. And I was an enlisted soldier. This is, you know, 2006. And so I'm sitting there and we finished our project for the night. And by the way, we're doing all of our construction, our engineering work at night because it's harder to see. We're less likely to be seen as targets and the enemy can't see us while we're working, right? So it's late at night. We finish up the project for that evening and it was probably, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe something like that. And I remember I laid down in my body armor with my weapon, my equipment. I lay down on the ground and I'm sitting there and I had my helmet on and I'm laying down in between some concrete barriers to protect myself in case there's any explosions or whatever happens. I don't get hit with shrapnel and, or I'm just safe. Right. And I'm laying down in this site in this patrol base, sweating because it's hot as hell. And there's a gunfight going on about a half mile, maybe a mile away from me. The Apaches are coming in. They're firing. The ground forces are moving and clearing building to building. And I'm over here finishing up my engineering job and hearing the combat, being in the middle of the city, but not really being a part of that direct fight. And I'm sitting there and I remember thinking like, man, this sucks. You know, I started kind of regretting the decision that I had made coming into the military. Like, man, I shouldn't be an engineer, man. I remember thinking this. And I was like, I remember thinking I should be over there. And I kind of started having this like feeling of regret about the career path that I had chosen. And this is, you know, I'm relatively young at this age. I think I'm 20 or something like that. And during that moment, I made a conscious decision to never feel like that again. I remember this very clear. I'm looking up at the stars here in the gunfight. And I said, I shouldn't be here. I should be over there. I'm not going to continue living my life in regret. I should be in the combat over there. I should be in the direct fight, not this supporting fight over here. And the result from that was that it became like ingrained in me. And I became very purpose-driven to get out of my situation and into the infantry. And next thing you know, I get into SOF. I say next thing you know, but it took a lot of work to get there. But that was the result, right? It caused me to course correct in my life. And, you know, sometimes in life, you don't really know what you're going to regret and what you're not going to regret. But a lot of times you can predict it. One time that I could have predicted it was when I was competing for the Army's Best Ranger competition, in the Army's Best Ranger competition. Okay, it's a pretty, I think I've told you about BRC before, haven't I, Justin, or no?
I think so, yeah.
So it's a 3-day event where you basically pair up with another Ranger qualified individual and you compete against the other Ranger qualified teams in the Army. And the Army takes like 52 of them and you all have to try out and compete. So only every year they take 52 total teams out of the entire Army and you compete against one another. You have to qualify to be one of those teams. Well, I qualified for it with me and my partner and we trained for like 4 or 5 months every single day, maybe, yeah, about 4.5, 5, I think it was about that long, 5 months. And during that train up, we're getting ready for the actual competition date. And the competition is 3 days long. There's no planned eating, no planned sleeping. And you just constantly move. You do some stress shooting. You do a lot of physical activity. We ended up covering like 60 something miles in the first 18 hours, most of it with a rucksack on, a 40 pound pack on, and our boots and camo uniform. So anyways, while we're training up for this event, I had some doubt in my mind. I was like, because the guys that had competed in this thing before, I mean, to be honest, I was kind of an anomaly. Okay. I had never competed in this event before. I wasn't a big endurance guy at the time. And the guys I was going up against had like, it was a goal of theirs that they had been working towards for years. And I was like way out of my league, kind of stepping into that thing. Right. But since I qualified and I competed and I was competitive, I went there and I was I started my train up and everything. But the day in and the day out, during that time, I started feeling like I wasn't going to win. Okay, I was like, there's no way I'm going to take first place. This is like, I'm not an endurance guy. These guys have been training for this thing, there's literally a guy that's been trying to win this thing for 5 years. Okay, he knows the game. I barely know the rules right now. And so every single day I'm waking up and I'm going to training 5-6 days a week, multiple times a day. And I have this residual doubt of I won't be able to win, but I keep kind of pressing forward. It's basically like I'm too stupid to quit and I'm too ignorant to say, hey, you could win this thing. So I just keep pressing forward. Right. And, so we keep going. What ends up happening is that every single day, I know I was leaving a little bit on the table with my training. Right. I know that I had that doubt. There was just enough down there to say, dude, you're not going to win. What does this even matter? Especially when you're on a 6-hour workout and you've done 20 something miles in one day. And now you're doing hands-on stuff and you're going to go do another 3 to 5 miles. Plus you're going to go get in the pool afterwards, all in the same day. At that point, you're pretty fatigued. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, you're not going to win. Right. That was the negative voice in my head. Okay. So, you know, fast forward is, we end up competing in that competition. And one of the teams that I was training alongside in my unit was two individuals that had never competed in the event either. But every single day, these two were competing to win. Okay. They left it every single day. I was watching them and I remember thinking like, I just remember being impressed with their work ethic. And then, but I didn't think that they would actually win either. Okay. I was kind of projecting my insecurity onto them. And we compete in the event. And guess what happens? Those two individuals, they won the competition. Me and my partner, we end up getting cut within the first day, the first 24 or 36, somewhere in there, that window. And the reason we got cut is because at that end of that first gate, the first 24 hours, they were only taking the top 25 teams. They only allowed the top 25 to continue on, and we had basically gotten leapfrogged, and they said, okay, you're done. We were smoked. But here's kind of my point, is that that was one of the toughest things I had ever done in my life for numerous reasons. One is it was the training every single day was brutal. I was training for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, every single day for 4.5, almost 5 months. And then the day of the competition, or excuse me, the weekend of the competition, we get cut, and this other team who didn't hold back, who went all in, they end up winning the motherfucker. And so here I am at the end of it, feeling sorry for myself, feeling miserable, and regretting the fact that I didn't give it my all. And I remember just that sinking feeling. How many people have been there before where you have that sinking feeling of fuck, man, I should have done something different. I should have done this. I should have done differently. And so what I realized is I held back. And since then, what that has allowed me to do is that every single time I go into practice, whether it's mixed martial arts, whether it's weightlifting, whatever it is, I have that fear that I'm going to feel like that again. And I don't, now I don't walk away from a practice like I should have done. I could have given more. Okay. Because that pain was so much for me. And I'm not saying that it's perfect. Okay. I do go into training and I make mistakes, and there's days where it kind of like, you can feel yourself naturally pulling back, almost like subconsciously pulling back. But where I was pulling back 10 to 20% maybe in the best ranger competition, I'm pulling back maybe 1% right now. And so it's changed the whole trajectory of my life, all because of that pain of regret afterwards. What part of that story, you know, stood out the most to you?
How long ago was that competition? Or how old were you at the time?
Why?
Because I have a point I'm trying to make.
What's the point?
Well, I'm thinking one of the things that sticks out to me trying to pull the nuggets out of your story is that I feel like you went through a lot of these regretful moments fairly early on in your life and then reacted to them kind of the right way, saying like, I don't want to do that again. You didn't take a woe is me kind of approach, and you've had a lot of time to make something out of it, right? And basically act the right way through the rest of your life since then, which I feel like is a big part of the problem for a good handful of people, is that they kind of coast through everything, or they kind of play it safe through their 20s, maybe play it safe through their 30s, and then start regretting stuff in their 40s. And it's not too late at that point. I'll never say it's too late, but you did miss out on, you know, a decade or two over that course of time.
Yeah. I mean, I started paying attention. I've continuously made adjustments after moments of regret throughout my entire life. I would say it really started, not my entire life, it really started into my 20s is when I really started making some serious changes. Before that, I was kind of a woe is me type, where I regret something and I was like, oh, poor me. I ended up making those adjustments throughout my military career, and I'm living it today with mixed martial arts. You know, I started this year off and I said, hey, there's no reason why you can't put this off, or there's no reason why you should put mixed martial arts off this year, excuse me. And I said, how am I going to feel at the end of the year if I don't do it? And so then that got me into the gym. But so everybody should be asking themselves, you know, what are the things that what has regret done for them is the first thing they should ask. You know, is it causing them to be this woe is me, or is it causing you to pivot, make adjustments? Okay. And so every time if you experience a little bit of regret, you make course correct afterwards, life is going to get better. You're going to get better. But here's the next point that I want to bring up. It's that you don't have to wait until you've lost to anticipate your regret. You can anticipate regret, you know, well in advance. If you were to, one of the things I like to do is think about life. Okay. When I'm done at the end of my life, how do I wish I would have lived now? That's a really powerful question to ask yourself. Okay. When you're faced with a decision, you're trying to figure out whether to go right or left. I always look the lens of my current life through the lens of myself at like 80 years old, 90 years old. I'm like, hey, what decision do I wish I would have made so that I don't regret it when I'm sitting on that porch of my house and I'm looking back on the life that I've lived? I'm anticipating the regret later, right? So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to pause there for a second.
What kind of factors are you looking at when you're going through that mental exercise with yourself, when you're trying to anticipate your regret? Like what specifically are you thinking about?
I am thinking about how much pain. I'm thinking about fulfillment and I'm thinking about pain. Okay. So, for example, if the mixed martial arts one is really easy to kind of pick apart. If I'm looking back at 2020 from the time I'm 80, and I'm looking back on this leg of my journey, and I think, man, should I dive into mixed martial arts? Do I wish that I would have made that decision to start pursuing it at this point in my life? The first thought is why not? I kind of hear myself coaching myself from that old man's, you know, wisdom. He kind of tells me like, why not? What do you have to lose? And then I hear myself saying, well, I could get injured. I'm a little bit older. And he kind of talks some sense into me. He's like, dude, you know, is it going to make you happier? I'm like, yes. But for me as an individual, I think about and I weigh it. And I think about that old man talking to me. He's like, are you going to regret not doing it? Kind of like you mentioned. And when the answer is yes, I take action on it. You know, I like what Michael Jordan said, you know, I can't accept not trying. If I know the outcome that I'm trying to achieve is unknown, then that means I have a chance, right? Like think of best ranger competition. If I would have said to myself, is it known or unknown that you can't win? And I would have answered, well, it's probably unknown. Maybe not likely, but it's probably unknown. That means that there's a chance, which means I can try harder. So same thing here with mixed martial arts. I would rather know that I'm going all in, and I would rather approach my everything that I do with that mindset, because the idea of not trying brings me more pain later on. So does that kind of answer your question?
It does kind of answer my question. That's a very good way to put it. Because something else I'm trying to get at too is that I feel like when we're younger, or in the present, even not even younger, because we're all younger right now than we will be tomorrow, basically, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I feel like we just don't get clear about the reasons why we'll regret something in the future before it actually comes to that. I'm going to take the fitness example again, just because it's kind of the easiest one that everybody can relate to. But, you know, I feel like when people are younger, they think to themselves like, oh, it would be nice to be in shape. Like maybe I'll be more attractive. Maybe it'll be easier to attract a mate. Basically, it'll look good. People will like me, that kind of thing. And then as time progresses, you start to realize that's not exactly why. It would have been a good idea to keep yourself in shape, but that's not why. But it's because you don't want your knees to hurt every time you try to walk, or it's because you want to be able to do stuff with the kid that you have now in your backyard. Those are the types of things that people actually end up regretting later on down the road. And I think that people just don't think that deeply about it when they're actually making their decisions in the present time.
Yeah. Or they tell themselves a lie, which is, hey, I shouldn't start mixed martial arts because I'm older, because when I'm 60 and 70 years old, it's going to destroy my body. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a straight up fucking lie, because you might be more susceptible to injuries. However, I know of a guy that's in his 50 years old, and he runs 20 mile days. If you guys, Cameron Haynes, man, do you guys follow him on Instagram? Shout out to Cameron Haynes. I believe he's over 50, if I remember correctly.
Look at Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, great example, in his 50s. And, you know, people argue that physical fitness and activity is going to make you more beat up when you're older. But these individuals that we just named are in phenomenal shape. And people will say, no, they're just genetically gifted. No, the reason they're genetically gifted is because they put in the work to be genetically gifted.
Yeah,
like, shit, man. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think some of these fighters are genetically gifted, then you've got all sorts of other problems that we need to address probably.
Yeah. It's just the shit that you're telling yourself about what you're going to regret later is a lie. Like, it's just, so it's super, super frustrating.
Jeremiah's starting to cringe a little bit over there as we yeah. move along with that point.
But if you acknowledge, so if you have an honest conversation with yourself and you get clear about why you're not doing something, and you realize that the reason you're not doing it is essentially it's just a lie, and you realize that you would much rather take action and you're going to regret not taking action. Well, here's the thing to keep in mind is that you're really not going to see the results until later. There's going to be a lag time. Okay. So when I made the decision, I'm laying there in Bakuba in Iraq, and I made the decision, hey, I'm never going to be in this situation again. It was, guess what? The next day I woke up and I'm still in Iraq. Okay. So you have to remember that it's going to take time for that decision to catch up to you.
Right.
All right. And so be patient along the process. But realize that it's not going to happen overnight, okay? But you will. Guess what happened? I ended up landing my dream job because I made that decision. And then guess what? All the shit that everybody talked to me that said that, hey, it doesn't exist, all the reasons why I could have talked myself out of it, all that shit, I was so happy that I accomplished my dream and I minimized the regret. I went on this path of like, I don't give a shit. At least I'm going to try because I can't stand not trying, and it pays off. And at the end of the day, even if I didn't get the dream job, man, it would have been worth it because I would have had that peace and fulfillment knowing that I tried, right?
That's an interesting combination, is feeling regret and making a decision about minimizing that regret in the future. There's another element too, where like some regret just doesn't have the same stickiness factor as other regrets. For example, If you go and you get like a massive milkshake from your favorite ice cream place or something, you know, and you just start slurping that sucker down the best you can, what happens? You get a brain freeze, you know, and then it sucks. You're regretting it for like the next 2 minutes. You're like, oh my God, this is the worst decision I've ever made. Why did I do this? And then as soon as the brain freeze goes away, what do? You go right back at it. You do the same thing all over again. And I feel like there are people that do that in all sorts of areas too. And that's another thing with the alcohol, the fast food, those types of things that people use as examples all the time. It's people somehow get caught up in the cycle of, I want to make this decision for my short-term pleasure, and then I'm going to regret it. But I'm only going to regret it for like a day at the most. And then I'm going to make the same decision over again.
Well, the regret has to be painful, right?
Like,
you have to look at the moment that you're in from the lens of your entire life, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if I'm looking at the regret of drinking my ice cream shake as fast as possible from being 80 years old, I drink it as quick as possible. And I think about that, doing it again, the regret from 80 years old is like insignificant, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to do that again. It's not going to matter later on. Yeah. There's very minimal regret there. So I'm going to go ahead and soak up the moment. But so, you know, I get what I encourage the individual to do is you want to look at it long-term. What's the regret of acting in this manner long-term? Mm-hmm. And then weigh the decision there, because that's really what life is about, isn't it? It's about getting the most out of your time here on earth. And maybe you won't live to 80, 90, 100. Maybe you're going to, maybe something horrible is going to happen and your lifetime gets shortened.
Yeah.
Your lifespan gets shortened. So, you know, you want to start making a habit of making these, making your decisions based off of minimizing regret daily. And matter of fact, you can start this, you know, habitually. You can start this daily. You can literally, when you lay down at night, ask yourself if you gave today your best. Ask yourself, what do you regret from today? Did you leave anything on the table? I do this religiously. I'm a fiend looking at the day and reflecting on what I regret doing and what I regret not doing. Happened to me in mixed martial arts yesterday, man. Fucking pissed me off. I had a regret moment yesterday. So I'm rolling with this guy and my ankle's jacked. I got some injuries, like you know, and I'm doing some jiu-jitsu with this guy and I've been working out for an hour already and he shows up, he's fresh. We're going back and forth and we're doing a timed roll for submissions and basically dominant moves like sweeps and passes and passing guards and stuff. And I'm very much in a technique mode where I'm working very, very technical and he's in a very aggressive competitive mode. And I'm telling myself not to be in a competitive mode because I don't want to re-injure myself. And what ends up happening is I'm not going all in on the thing that I'm doing with him. And he ends up catching me in a submission, which he shouldn't have gotten. And at that moment, so far this year, I haven't bit down on my mouthpiece that hard in all 254 days that it's been this year. And so I lost, he submitted me, I bit my mouthpiece and I got on the Ergo bike, the assault bike. And I'm transitioning between the next roll. And I stewed on it for, you know, 5 minutes or so or whatever it was. And went back and ended up beating him on the next one. And I kicked it up a notch. But when I went home that night, last night, I lay down in bed and I was so mad at myself. I was so pissed. I regretted not switching it on to another gear when I felt him switching it on to another gear. So anyways, taking inventory, and guess what's going to happen from here on out? That has never happened to me, I'm telling you that much.
Chill mode.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing is like, you hear that conviction in my voice. I'm using the regret to make course corrections along my way. Okay. So we can start wrapping it up here, but I'll leave it. I'll pass it over to you for any final comments before we do.
No, I don't have any. It's an important thing to know. I think this topic is particularly unique to some of the other ones that we do because bettering yourself due to regret is something that people do naturally. I don't think this is one that people needed to listen to in order to start making the most out of the regret. I think people just do that. What we're trying to get across is a little bit more how to anticipate this sort of regret, have a little bit more of a consciousness toward it, realize that you are doing it, realize why you're doing it, so on and so forth, and just how to react, or maybe not react, but you know how to respond to that sort of regret that you're feeling to really make the most out of it, not let it happen again, but also realizing the value in it if it does happen again.
Yeah, well, and to your point, you know, an individual that's listening should sit here and ask themselves, should inventory the things that they're regretting right now, and ask themselves, why are they not taking action on them right now? Do they have the victim mentality of like, oh, it's too late for me, oh, woe is me? And then the other thing that they can do is, you know, here's the big takeaway for the listener is, how do you want to remember life?
Yeah.
You know, when you look back and your life from 89 years old, how do you want to remember this moment? What are the decisions you need to make now that you're going to regret later if you don't? And if that's too long of a span for you, let's focus on the next 10 years. How do you want to remember the next decade? You know, for me, I want to remember it as a decade where I got to an absolutely unprecedented level in business and fitness. That's how I want to remember it. Now, and I want to have experiences along the way. And then if that's too long of a time period, ask yourself, how do you want to remember the end of today? Or how do you want to remember today at its end? Okay. What I mean is like, you're going to lay down tonight and you have an opportunity to minimize regret in the next 12 to 24 hours. Okay. And if you can ask those questions and you discover how you want to live in the next 10 years, how you want to live for the remainder of your life, how you want to live today, and you don't do anything, you don't make any changes, you know, my question to you is, why the hell are you choosing to live the exact same way? Okay. So make course corrections. Get really, really clear on the things you regret. And that's a practical tool for today. But the practical tool is to start minimizing regret today. Okay. Because regret minimization is the catalyst to action. It is. And I want you to lay down tonight. I want the listener to lay down tonight and be at peace when their head hits the pillow. Okay. If you rinse and repeat that process of regret minimization, your life is going to continuously get better. You're going to regret less and less and less, and you'll find peace. Okay. So that's today's lesson. Like I mentioned before, regret is a powerful driver. It's more powerful than pain and pleasure. Essentially, minimizing it is. Okay. And as you guys digest today's episode and you move along in your life and you're trying to better yourself as a leader, you know, take inventory of the things that you're just not trying to do right now. Okay. And I want you to ask yourself, why are you not doing them? Because I guarantee you're going to regret not trying than trying and failing. Okay. So spend some time today reflecting on that. And just remember the quote that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, the one from Michael Jordan. I can't accept not trying. Until next time, be the leader.
I need some motivation. Motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Proud of myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead, trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king, I am a queen. I am more than the people can see. I am strong when I'm needing to be. Vulnerability's nothing to me. You can try, but I'm unshakable. My successes is never debatable. I'm chameleon, I'm so interchangeable. Here's to you and all that you are capable.
You better go hard, better get it.